Good afternoon. Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. Your panel this afternoon is to my right, Justice Sue Walker. To my left, Justice Bob McCoy. I'm Leanne Dofino. And you are the only case on the 3 o'clock docket for oral submission. We have others for submission on briefs, but you're the whole show for oral submission, so welcome. And I understand you're both ready, so we'll get started. Megan, you want to call a case, please?
The court now calls City of Denton versus Rachel Paper. Ms. Natalie Buenuelos to argue for appellant, and Ms. Sharon Laurie to argue for appellate.
May it please the court. This is an interlocutory appeal from the trial court's denial of the city's motion for summary judgment based on the assertion of immunity from suit and the trial court's finding that the road condition in this case was a special defect. Today I'm going to divide my argument into two parts. First, as a matter of law, the road condition in this case is an ordinary premises defect, not a special defect. And second, as a matter of law, the city had no knowledge of the defect on the roadway at the time of the accident.
I have a procedural question.
Yes, Your Honor.
If it's just a premises defect, then we would remand, correct?
If it was just a premises defect,
correct.
You would remand because the trial court found no...
Special defect?
Yes, the trial court found a special defect and did not address the issue of whether or not the city had actual knowledge.
Okay,
you're welcome. The Texas Tort Claim Act establishes the perimeters of the waiver of immunity for ordinary premises defects and special defects. Classification of a road defect as either an ordinary premises defect or special defect is a question of law, and it must be established before the city is charged with what type of duty is owed to the appellee. The legislator has specifically limited special defect claims to conditions such as excavations and obstructions on highways, roads, and streets. The Supreme Court has narrowly construed the class of special defects, and this court has found that most property defects are ordinary premises defects.
I have another question.
Yes, Your Honor.
In determining whether a road condition is a special defect or just an ordinary premises defect, does how the defect was created matter? In other words, it seems to me like special defects are more likely to be, as the statute says, excavations and obstructions, things that were caused
yes,
by
Your
the
Honor.
City, whereas a premises defect might be something that just occurred over time or erosion or the elements. Is that accurate?
Well, the city does not have to actually create the special defect to be accountable for it. The appellee has argued that the city did create the special defect, but the city, in fact, does not have to be the creator of the defect that is there. For example, if they are put on notice that there a dangerous condition exists, even though they may not have created it, and then they did not go back and try to fix it or create it, they could be then charged with actual knowledge, or even still, it still could be a special defect. A special. I would say yes, but in this case, Your Honor, the city did not create this special defect. There is uncontroverted evidence based on through the affidavit of the city's project superintendent that on March 23rd, 2007, all construction on the sewer and manhole were completed. And at that time, the roadway was level, and it was brought up to the safe roadway conditions. There is no evidence in the record after that the city went back and opened the street cut back up or did any other actions.
Well,
the apple.
You or your contractor goes out there and does such a pathetic job that it drops either 2 or 6 inches in a short period of time, I think you created it.
Well, Your Honor, in this case. That may be true, Your Honor, but in this case, there was no evidence in the record to establish that the city created that. Once again, I would point the court to the affidavit of the superintendent who in there testified within the affidavit that when they left the project on Friday, March 23rd, 2007, that the roadway was level.
Are you aware of any cases that talk about whether creation or lack of creation by the municipality is a factor to consider and whether or not it's a special defect?
I am unaware of any case at this time, but in researching, I did run across cases where the city could be liable even if it didn't create the special defect, and it certainly could be liable if it did create the defect. But once again, it is the city's contention that they did not create the special defect because it was level with the street when the project was completed. The uncontroverted evidence in this case establishes that the road defect was a slight depression of a couple of inches, a few inches.
Where did that come from?
That is from the testimony of Joe Wilson.
If there's no evidence that was created by the city.
Joe Wilson was a plaintiff for the witness.
Then where did the dip come from, the slight depression?
Well, Your Honor, it is unknown. It would be speculation to try to determine how the dip was created. It could have been through washout. It could have been through cars traveling across. There's absolutely no evidence in the record to establish how the depression was created.
But you do admit that there was a depression.
Yes, Your Honor, there was a depression, and the depression was a couple of inches, a few inches, and that evidence is from Mr. Wilson, who was a witness for the plaintiff, through his deposition testimony. And in his deposition, he testified that the day after the Appley's accident, he went to the accident scene and took pictures of the accident scene and placed a mechanical pencil down into the depression, and that based on that, it showed to be a couple of inches, a few inches deep, the depression. The appellee testified in her deposition that she was uncertain whether she traveled across the middle of the depression or on the sides of the depression.
So we're going to have opposing counsel where they come up with the 6 inches deep, which is set forth in a brief, which does not appear in the clerk's record where cited. So, heads up.
Yes, Your Honor. The Texas Supreme Court has recently addressed a very similar road defect in the City of Dallas versus Reed. In that case, the court held as a matter of law that a 2 to 3 inch variance in elevation between traffic lanes was not a special defect. The court went on to note that the Supreme Court has traditionally distinguished a special defect by some unusual quality outside the ordinary course of events, and that ordinary drivers in the normal course of driving should expect slight variations in road conditions caused by normal deterioration. Yes, Your Honor. And we're not, the city is not saying that a bicyclist or a motorcyclist are not ordinary users of the roadway, but they too, if they're going to use a roadway, should expect slight variations in the roadway.
Just looking at the photos in your brief, is it your contention that this is what was your buzzword there, ordinary?
This is an ordinary premises defect.
Well, that is what you said. Is there ordinary differences in elevation in the roadway? Are you saying that's what this depicts?
This depicts a variation in the elevation of the roadway, yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Okay. It is not an ordinary, I'll back up. Yes, this is the 2 to 3 inch depression in the roadway is an ordinary premises defect. It is not something that is unusual or great in quantity. Back to referring to the City of Dallas versus Reed case, in that case, that variance in the roadway was 2 to 3 inches, and the court found in that case that it was not a special defect. The Supreme Court also, in the City of El Paso versus Bernal case, determined as a matter of law that a depression in a sidewalk approximately 3 feet by 6 feet in length and 3 inches in depth was also not a special defect.
Well, let's look at, I'm sure you have your brief there.
Yes, Your Honor.
Look at your nice color pictures on page 6.
Yes, Your Honor.
What would make that a particularly the lower left-hand corner?
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, it's huge. It looks like it's 6 feet long and 2 or 3 feet wide.
Well, Your Honor, that is not the area to which the appellee claims that she traveled across. What is at issue is the depression in the roadway where you see the mechanical pencil placed. The remainder of the street cutout was not washed out at 2 to 3 inches in depth. I mean, and, yes, Your Honor, and two to three inches in depth.
Okay.
In the City of El Paso versus Bernal case, once again, the Supreme Court found that a 3 feet by 6 feet in length and 3 inch depth condition on the sidewalk was not a special defect. In the Hyneman versus State Department of Highways Public and Transportation case, a bicyclist sued the state for injuries that he sustained while hitting a bump in the roadway. And the bump in the roadway was measured at 2.5 inches at its highest, height. The court noted in that case that the legislator, in creating an exceptional class of road defects for which the state carries a higher degree of liability, did not mean to include every pothole or bump that on the public highway in Texas that might upset a cyclist or to impose the duty to warn of such conditions on the city. In the Smith versus City of Houston case, the Houston Court of Appeals determined that a manhole that had recessed 3 to 4 inches below street level was not a special defect. And the court noted in that case that as a practical matter, Houston streets are full of potholes, and that this recessed manhole was neither unusually large nor out of the ordinary. Because the surface depression in this case is similar to the defects that the courts ruled were not special defects in the City of Dallas versus Reed case, the El Paso versus Bernal case, the Hyneman versus State Department of Highways and Public Transportation case, and the Smith versus City of Houston case, in all those cases, the court found that the road conditions in those cases were not special defects, and our road condition is similar to those conditions. There is binding precedent
Yes,
Your Honor.
Your road condition is similar to those cases, but the question that I have, and maybe you've already answered it, that you're not aware, but it seems different to me because in this case there are records showing that this area was recently worked on. And in fact, when you look at the photos, you can see that the asphalt there was patched around.
Yes, sir.
Where, and so it's not something, when you were talking about a premises defect, you said that they were caused by normal deterioration. And this was not caused by normal deterioration. It happened within a matter of days or weeks from when this work was being done. So my question to you is, doesn't that make it a special defect?
No, Your Honor, that does not make it a special defect. What makes it a special defect is the court can consider many factors in determining whether a special defect exists. Size is one of them. In this case, size is a very important factor because it is not of that great of a depth when you compare it to what the courts have found to be special defects. And I provided the court with a demonstrative aid kind of charting out what courts have found to be special defects and what courts have found to be ordinary premises defects. And as you can see, those special defects are extremely large and in mass and quantity and unusual. This type of depression in the roadway would not necessarily be unusual. And as far as the city, whether or not it created the condition on the roadway, it has no effect on whether or not, that is not a determining factor in establishing whether or not it's a special defect. It's more looking at the characteristics of the condition itself on the roadway, not the creator of such.
Can you refresh my memory about how long it was between the time the accident occurred and y'all
had last been out there? Yes, Your Honor. March 23rd, 2007 was on a Friday. That was the last time that the city was out there. The project was complete, and it was brought to road surface level. The following Sunday, approximately, I guess, about 7 to 8 days later, is when the accident occurred, on April 1st, 2007.
Created the defect that has plays no part in whether it's a special defect or not. I'm hearing what you're saying about the cases. And
yes, Your Honor.
And they're awful, and anybody can see them, but I'm just having trouble.
Well, the law doesn't speak about that. If the city is the creator of the defect, no matter whatever defect it may be, that automatically charges them as being a special defect. The special defect classification comes in with the actual characteristics of the dangerous condition itself, not as to who created it. Because the city could be liable for special defects to which it didn't even create if they are put on notice of such. For example, there may be potholes in the city's streets that the city had, you know, contributed in no way to that being created.
Do you think that it's a factor that it's a hard edge line there? I mean, it's not a pothole, and it's not even really a depression. It's clearly where the patching has fallen away from the pre-existing roadway, so there's a pretty hard edge there, which seems to distinguish it from just the Reed case, which you discussed, a general variation in road level and minor dips and minor bumps.
Well, it is a depression in that it drops off and changes the elevation of the roadway to which you are driving upon, which is basically the same condition that was in Reed. Between traffic lane, there was a drop off of a 2 to 3 inch drop off. I would consider this to be somewhat of a drop off. Our road condition, I would compare it to. Even though you would be going parallel where this condition is face on, it's still a change in elevation or variance within the roadway itself. It is our contention that this is a special defect, and as such, it is not our contention that this is a special defect, that it is an ordinary premises defect. And in that, there's been no evidence to establish that the city had actual knowledge that the premises defect existed at the time. There is our affidavit that's in the record from the city superintendent clarified and established that the city was finished with the project on March 23rd, 2007, and thereafter received no other complaints or calls or any information regarding the roadway, and that all construction was completed at that time.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
So we gave you a heads up for question number one.
Yes, Your Honor, you did. Thank you for reminding me.
Nowhere in the record does it say 6 inches that I was able to locate.
On look at 145.
Oh, I did.
My copy of the affidavit in question says, okay, question. Okay, answer, and it was almost a pencil length deep, this mechanical pencil. It's on the same page, and that it says...
I think later on he explains that to be 2 inches.
Well, he said the next, by counsel for the city, based on your previous... You previously testified that you thought it was a couple of inches based on your placement of the mechanical pencil. Is that correct? And he said, yeah. But his answer to the previous question was it was almost a pencil length deep. So.
Okay, so it doesn't, okay. It says what it says.
It says what it says, and my contention is that that's closer to 6 inches than it is to two. To answer another one of Your Honor's questions, on the question of whether or not the city has to have created the condition to be liable for it, Harris County versus Eaton, which I think is the standard for what constitutes a special defect in the roadway, that's the 6 foot wide, 6 foot trench across the highway that defines a special defect for automobiles, says that you know, if a governmental unit created the condition, then actual knowledge of the condition can be imputed to it. But a special defect can also be created by an avalanche, a force of nature. If a rock slide comes down in the middle of the roadway, then that would be a special defect. I don't know who would be liable for it in that case, but it would be. That's what the Harris County versus Eaton courts.
I don't think the question was whether or not the city had to have created it to be a special defect. I think the question was whether or not that is a factor, because it looks like it could be, although it seems like both of y'all are saying that it's not, but it looks like it could be because the statute defines special defect as an excavation or an obstruction or something of that nature, which is not normal erosion. It seems to be something that is more man-made, and maybe perhaps not by the city, but created by somebody. Although I'm hearing you say that an avalanche can be a special defect too, so maybe it has absolutely no bearing and we're off in left field.
I think I would argue that what we're contending here is that appellant has said that a 2 or 3 inch depression in the roadway is an ordinary thing that drivers should be expected to encounter, but that this particular condition on Willowwood Road in Denton, Texas, was not the kind of condition, ordinary erosion, that a motorist should have been expected to encounter.
Well, how do you get around for a handout?
Well, the Hindman case, for example, that was a bicycle case, and it was a couple of inches. That decision was not based on the size of the defect. That decision was based on the location of the defect. That particular defect was on the shoulder of the road and did not interfere with an ordinary user of the roadway, and that was the basis on which that thing was declared not a special defect. This court also, I think it was this court that decided Denton County versus Binion. And that case also was decided based on the location of the defect and not its size. If the defect does not interfere with an ordinary user of the roadway, then by definition it can't be a special defect. That's the criterion that the Payne court set out as the defining characteristic.
Is there any authority that we should look at who the user is? Because if this had been an automobile, this bump would not have affected the automobile. But in this case, the ordinary user was a bicycle whose wheels are much smaller and a whole different set of shock absorbing or total lack of circumstances, which could cause an accident. But is there any
The Hindman case does say that a bicyclist is an ordinary user of the roadway.
Well, I don't know. Let me rephrase my question. I understand that. What I'm asking you is there any authority that we should look at who the ordinary user is when determining whether this is a special defect, or is it just plain old it's a special defect or it isn't, and it doesn't make any difference who the user is? Because this could be a special defect in the sense that it could cause an accident to a child on a bicycle, but not be a special defect in the sense that it could cause an accident driving a car. But is there any authority that we look, one of the views that we look at is who's the ordinary user, or is that just not a factor? Are you aware of any authority?
I am not aware. I think I understand Your Honor's question, and I'm aware of no authority that that says, all right, a special defect is a special defect regardless of who's on the road.
But you don't know of one that you take into account who the ordinary user is when you're determining whether or not it's a special defect.
No, Your Honor, I'm not.
Okay. I have a question. Does it matter, does the procedural stage we're at have any bearing on weight or how we view things. This isn't trial on the merits.
Right.
This is determined whether you get to trial. Does that affect our view of this at all? Yeah, I mean, there's one standard. I mean, you have to marshal your proof to a certain degree at trial, but for to see whether you get to trial, marshaling your is there a different standard for marshaling your proof? How much proof has to be marshaled? What does it take to close the courthouse doors to you, and what does it take to keep the courthouse doors open to you?
Well, this is a legal question, correct? Not a factual question.
Whether the defect is a special defect or an ordinary premise defect is a question of law. And if this court decides that it is not a special defect, then we would ask that you remand on the question of whether it is a premise defect.
But because it's a legal question, we're not up here concerned about is there a scintilla of evidence of this or more than a scintilla of that. It's just a legal question based on the case law. Is this a special defect or not? Because we're not here to decide whether it's a premise defect.
Or whether there's right. enough evidence or the credibility of anybody. Right?
Correct. Or what's in the record? The counsel for the appellant has stated repeatedly that their evidence is uncontroverted that the city had completed the work on the road and that nothing further needed to be done on the 23rd of March. The photographs in the record, page 7 of the supplement is what I cited because I thought that was a clearer photograph. But also there were two outstanding work orders in the record at pages 138 and 139 for the replacement of the asphalt in that location. And that clearly, according to the photographic evidence, had not been done when this accident occurred. So that the question of whether the city created the condition and therefore can be charged with knowledge of it is at least open for question. Let's see.
So following up on Judge Dalton's question, in the city's brief, there's a couple of sentences in here about raising a fact question to create jurisdiction, but that's not what we're here about. It's either a special defect as a matter of law or not.
Yes.
Of course, that's based on facts.
And Appellee claims that it is a special defect by the Payne definition of posing a hazard to ordinary user of the roadway. Although you're well aware that most of the factual definitions of a special defect are based on automobile cases.
So it makes a difference whether we're talking about a lane of a freeway or a residential street where you would expect baby strollers and bicycles and tricycles and things like that. Is that correct?
That could be.
Or a bicycle path.
If the excavation or obstruction poses a hazard to an ordinary user of the roadway such that cannot be avoided by an ordinary user of the roadway. I think the photograph shows that Appellee would have had to cross into oncoming traffic to have avoided this condition. And so that would make it a hazard that was unavoidable by an ordinary user of the roadway.
Well, I'm going to ask the opposing counsel in a minute, if this hazard had been on a bicycle path, if that would constitute a special defect. It seems to me the three interesting questions in this case are, number one, does who created the defect, is that a factor we consider in whether it's a special defect? Two, does it, is a bicyclist an ordinary user? And three, does it matter if we look at who the user is, the ordinary user, in determining whether it's a special defect, or is a special defect regardless of who the ordinary user is? I don't know the answer to any of the questions.
So there haven't been enough decisions based on bicycles to answer that question fully, but I don't remember the citation. It's a Hayes case out of Austin that was decided as a special defect on basically a bicycle path, because the city, University of Texas, had placed a barricade that would have stopped an automobile from passing, and then behind it placed a chain across the whole thing, which, of course, prevented a bicyclist from going past. But it was dark, and the chain was not lighted, and the chain wasn't marked, and a bicyclist went into it, and that was declared a special defect.
Created by the university?
Created. And, yeah, so the issue in that case turned out to be, well, was that a public road? Not whether the obstruction was a special defect, because that's the case, the only case I can think of offhand where a bicyclist on a bicycle path was considered to be an ordinary user and a special defect found in that case. No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, what about that, counsel? It seems to me that you could have a special defect in a bicycle path.
Yes, you could, Your Honor.
A special defect in a roadway, although the user is going to be the same.
Yes, Your Honor. And a special defect could be even found on the sidewalk, as it is near the roadway, and ordinary users of the roadway may be using the sidewalk, and there's case law that establishes that. But I wanted to quickly point the court to, and we cited this in our brief, the Texas Department of Transportation versus York case, which is a recent Supreme Court case. And in that case, on page 4, on the second column, the court goes into describing different characteristics that the courts can look at establishing what a special defect is. And one of those is size. Another one is some unusual quality outside the ordinary course of events. Another characteristics would be something that unexpectedly and physically impairs a car's ability to travel on the road. And another one is an unexpected and unusual danger to ordinary users of the roadway. I don't think that the statute itself or that the courts are making any difference in who the user of the roadway is, may it be a bicyclist or a driver. It's more like spoke earlier about the actual characteristics of the defect itself. And I would like to point the court's direction to more of a public policy aspect of this, and that thinking beyond this case, if the court were to rule today that this was a special defect, it would be throwing into the special defect class just the run-of-the-mill pothole. And that would impose a great liability and on governmental entities to maintain the roadway, and not that they shouldn't maintain the roadway, but a special defect class was created for something that was exceptional, that was out of the ordinary. Yes, Your Honor.
The anticipated user of a roadway, as I was saying, you have a different group of people who are going to be using a freeway than are going to be using the bike path. And a residential street that is not well lighted, particularly in this day and age, of high fuel prices, obese population, when the government is pushing people to ride bicycles, if we consider a policy argument, then shouldn't we consider that a residential street, there should be an anticipation that there will be more bicycles out there, particularly a residential street that's not well lighted, so if you're going to have you're going to do a repair job on a street, you better do it right.
Yes, Your Honor, and cities should repair streets correctly. But determining whether a condition is a special defect is decided on a case-by-case basis. And in that, for example, in this street, there was a sidewalk. There was area for someone who was, pushing their baby in a stroller to be on. This is a very wide residential street. The young lady that had the accident had it in the morning. It was bright. It was sunny. Quite frankly, this condition was perceptible to her had she been looking down at the road condition. And as a driver and as a bicyclist, there's some responsibility placed on yourself to kind of look around and see what the road conditions may look like. I didn't want to really get into that as far as my argument goes. But back to the policy issue, the state of Texas has more road mileage than any other state in the country. And to impose, and there are potholes and depressions throughout the roadways, and to classify this depression, which is, there's evidence that it's 2 to 3 inches in depth, as a special defect, is going to throw into the special defect class really just run-of-the-mill potholes, and that is going to impose a huge liability on governmental entities. And so, yes, Your Honor, I don't know. Well, Your Honor,
there's a pothole developed in the freeway, the city can't agree that to go right after. I'm hearing you totally.
Well, once again, the creator of the condition is not a characteristic in deciding what if it's a special defect. It is basically the characteristics of the condition itself. And the city once again argues that it did not create the condition, because when it left that project, there in the affidavit, you will read the affidavit, I believe it's in the record at 52 in the court's record. It states in there that when the project manager left, the road level was level and there was nothing wrong with it. Yes, Your Honor, the work order. That, once again, is a misrepresentation of the record. The work order that she's referring to, 137, at the bottom of it, it says, raised line up, sank when packed down rock. They make a reference, they being the appellee, make a reference in their brief that indicated that there was additional work to be done, which that wasn't the case. They're indicating on that work order that they went out there and they raised the lineup because it sank. The work order before that, which is on 136 of the record, notes that they're going to have to go back, raise lineup, line sank when packed down rock, that they're going to have to go back. Excuse me, I misquoted. It's in the record at 80. They picked up the barricades, going to have to go back because line sank a little. The next work order indicates that they raised the line up because it sank. There's no other notation on there that any other work needed to be completed. And so
I'm... They were aware that they had a sinking problem?
It had sunk once, and they went back and raised it up. Yes, Your Honor, the very next day, actually. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming to argue. Your case is submitted, and you're free to go about your business.
Thank you.